Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Russiagate. Svetlana Lakova, the historian of Russian history, also the author of a book about Russiagate, a piece of it called Spygate Exposed, is here to comment on the verdict in the Michael Sussman trial for deceiving the FBI. Mr. Sussman was judged not guilty. He was innocent, always unless proven guilty, not guilty by a jury of his peers. Svetlana, a very good evening to you. You anticipated this verdict. I did not. And your comments leading up to the verdict pointed to the effort of the Clinton campaign, the media covering the Clinton campaign, and friends of the FBI, Michael Sussman being one of them, to distort the election process and now to rationalize what they did and when they did it, or in the paraphrase of one of the defense counsels, dirty tricks are not illegal. What is your measure of the verdict of not guilty? What did we learn in the Sussman trial that advances our understanding of Russiagate? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, with regards to the verdict, I am, of course, absolutely stunned by the jury's findings, because they took less than 4 hours to deliberate on such an important case, and I think it would have been even less than that, because what happened is the judge went on holiday. Remember, it was just before the Memorial Day, so he wants to leave at 2:30. So the jury started deliberations after lunch on Friday, and they were even sending a note to the judge with some questions. That basically, it could have been all done even under 4 hours, which is a disgrace in itself, because with thousands of pages of exhibits, at the very least, they owed it to everyone and to the oath of the jury's oath to at least consider the evidence. Then the fact that it's absolutely obvious that Sussman did lie, there's no question about that. We have tons of evidence for that, including his own text messages, and even his own defense didn't really deny it. They were just sort of playing with technicalities about when he was representing Hillary Clinton, when he wasn't representing Hillary Clinton, et cetera, et cetera. And the idea that, the jury saw that evidence and came to this conclusion is just absolutely perverse. So the question is, well, how did they do it? Well, we had a forewoman of the jury giving a statement to the media within, I think, under an hour, just over an hour, maybe, after the verdict, saying that the government should not have brought this prosecution, they disagreed with the prosecution, which is, of course, wasn't what they were asked about, and that there are bigger things in this facing this country than a lie to the FBI, which is just absolutely sense, because what could be more important for America than a senior person lying to the authorities in an attempt to circumvent the most sacred rights for Americans, which is the right to choose your leader. And it was just absolutely astounding thing to say. And I'm just, I suppose, very shocked as an outsider of how politicized this jury was. Also how sort of brazen they're about admitting it. And, you know, that should have been during the nullification, and the judge should have instructed the jury, because it wasn't their job to second guess why the government brought the prosecution. And clearly they shouldn't judge, you know, basically they're saying, well, what he lied to the FBI. In fact, it came through that is, you know, they sort of hate Trump so much. That's what sort of the then said thing was, that they actually don't think he necessarily did anything bad. They didn't actually say that he was innocent.
We anticipated that the jury was chosen from a pool that is heavily anti-Trump. This is the District of Columbia. We anticipated also that the judge made a decision when choosing the jury not to exclude anyone, because even if they said they voted against Trump or voted for Clinton or had strong views that Trump was, and then fill in the blank. The judge made that decision. And therefore, there was always the frame that this was going to be a challenging jury for the Durham prosecution because of what you've just evidenced, that the jury...
That's right, but also the judge did not instruct, and that's a huge mistake by the judge, a huge error, which is he should have explained to the jury, which was not part of the instructions, that if that the statements that the jury made afterwards, as opposed to before, or during the deliberation process, such as the government should not have prosecuted, and we don't care if he lied or not, we just basically, you know, we don't care. If those statements were made, that would be disqualifying. So this jury should have been nullified, and the judge should have put that into the jury instructions, and he didn't do it, because that means this jury should have been replaced. And he didn't do it. So there we are. And then I think that, in a sense, the prosecution proved precisely the case that it started with, which is they said that this case was about privilege. And this is a privilege of a well-connected DC lawyer, who, of course, was chosen by Hillary's people for that reason, who basically got away with something that none of us could. And that was the first point that the prosecution made in their open statement. And the second point, which came through the evidence, is the role of the media, who were employed, the mass media, you know, respected, you know, TV and the papers, newspaper journalists, they were employed by a company, Fusion GPS, who was in turn employed by the Hillary campaign. So this cut out of this law firm, of which, you know, one of the top lawyers was on trial. And they were placing anti-Trump stories, and not necessarily, this wasn't just a dirty trick, they were lies. They were placing anti-Trump stories into the media, and then they were also placing the stories in the media that the FBI is investigating Trump and that he's somehow guilty of things. And so it shows you that 4 years or more even that of doing that, how it damaged not just the FBI and other institutions by forcing them to investigate things which were outright lies, you know, placed by the political opponents of Trump, but also the general public, especially obviously in this case we're talking about Washington. So from that perspective, you know, the very thing that we had the trial about, which is this wasn't a dirty trick, right? This was a deliberate conspiracy to place false information into the media to provoke investigations and of a political opponent, and then also place in the media that this political opponent somehow is guilty of criminal conduct. And that clearly worked. 4 years of that coverage clearly worked based on this visceral hatred of Trump, you know, and whether you like him or not, but he was an elected president. But the jury basically came to the conclusion that because of consuming the very product that Hillary people put in, that if it's about Trump, we don't care.
The jury's verdict is final. The Durham prosecution continues. The Durham investigation continues. What do you expect to follow? Because there was lots of evidence introduced into the trial that pointed to other players in what was understood to be the Russiagate scenario. I'm thinking of Randy Jaffe, the tech executive, who, to our knowledge, has not been offered any special accommodation by John Durham? Do you expect the investigation to go forward and Mr. Jaffe to be indicted for constructing evidence that the FBI, I paraphrase, said was evidence of mental disability?
So, to remind your listener, Rodney Jaffe was the so-called tech executive who was, together with Hillary Clinton, a client of Perkins Coie. That's how they laundered their dirt through this law firm, which is, by the way, something that also needs to somehow be addressed in the future. But, you know, something needs to happen with legislation where law firms shouldn't be allowed to be used as cutouts for political dirty games, and especially for injecting, you know, government with lies, with anonymity. But going back to Jaffe, so Jaffe was the second client of Michael Sussman, and he's responsible for ordering and then supplying to Sussman and independently to the FBI the data that made it look like Trump had a secret communications channel with Russia, and also for overall spying and getting information on numerous Trump associates. And for that, he was so there were two things, right? One is this illegal surveillance of Trump and his team in order to please Hillary Clinton, because he said in the email he wanted the job in her administration. And the second thing Jaffe did is he ordered this data, which was false, which made it look like, you know, Trump was and his team were, you know, Manchurian candidates, Kremlin candidates, got the orders from Kremlin. Now, Jaffe, one of the most outrageous things that happened on top of all the other outrageous things is he had access as a government contractor, he had access to DARPA records, which is the Defense Intelligence, it's the Defense Department arm. And they have huge amounts of data, terabytes and terabytes of this data that they hold on citizens. And Rodney Jaffe was supposed to help the government secure this data and analyze this data, but he misused when they say it's non-public data, it's actually government data. So it's like NSA, but for the Defense Department. And so he misused this data, and nobody knows what else he did with it and what else people like him did with this. And so this is something that clearly is important, not just for this, which is big enough, but also in general, every citizen should be concerned that people like Rodney Jaffe have access to their data and use it for illegal means. So at the moment, we obviously know that the prosecution, the Durham prosecutors, did announce that, you know, at the moment that Rodney Jaffe is subject to criminal investigation. They've confirmed that through the Sussman trial, which is why Jaffe refused to give any evidence. And secondly, they did confirm that the statute of limitation on potential crimes by Jaffe and his associates hasn't run out because there's a potential defrauding of the government. And that means that the statute of limitations are a lot longer, or even probably indefinite, for some of the things he did. So that means that, you know, we obviously don't know whether he's going to be charged and with what. There's going to be conspiracy charges, there's going to be defrauding government charge. There's all sorts of things that, you know, the prosecution were exploring. They're on the record with that. So we wait and see. But at the very least, there's clearly needs to be, in the meantime, there's also need to be congressional investigations. There need to be, you know, privacy groups, potential investigations. We all should be concerned in any event. And this is the value of this information that came out through the Sussman trial about what happens to our data and how it gets misused.
The Durham investigation going forward at this point has told us a great deal about Sussman meeting with James Baker and Sussman meeting with Fusion GPS and Sussman working with the Clinton campaign. The puzzle for me always in our conversations about the Sussman trial was that Sussman also met with the CIA after the election, after Trump was inaugurated, after there was such a thing as a Trump administration. So I'd like to turn to that and your thoughts about what has happened to that component of the revelations in the Durham investigation. Who was Sussman responding to when he went to the CIA in February of 2017? Who was paying him? Why did he do this? We didn't get any of this information, to my understanding, from the trial where Mr. Sussman was judged by the jury to be not guilty. This is the Friends of History Debating Society with Svetlana Lakova, the Russian historian. I'm John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.